Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My next guest covers the Pac-12 like nobody else. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, syndicated in the Oregonian as well. You can read his stuff on Oregon Live as well now. Joining us live via satellite from the Bay Area. What's the scene in the Bay Area?
Well, actually, things are today pretty good. You never know about tomorrow, but no complaints. No complaints here at the moment. I hope your listeners up there have power and are safe and sound.
Yeah, we have power for now, buddy. I'm going to tell you, you're not prepared. If your power goes out, you're not going to have Wi-Fi. You're going to be cold. You're going to have all kinds of food that's melting. You're not prepared. I thought I was prepared. I had 8 good hours, my friend.
And then you kind of turned into Thoreau in the woods.
I started thinking, like, what am I doing here? What's going on? Trees are exploding. There's too much ice and snow. And I didn't have his word. Like, my sister just got her power back today, Wilner. She was 10 days without power.
It's like you guys have PG&E running the show. Man, brutal. Just brutal. Golly.
Let's talk about legislation in California. I saw a couple of your tweets, a couple of your pieces on what the heck is happening. What is California trying to do here?
Yeah, well, California is just basically trying to California. There's a new piece of legislation that has been introduced into the state assembly in Sacramento that is very radical for college sports. It would require the California universities to pay players directly for promotional royalty fee for promotional purposes, basically using their name and image. The schools use the name and image and then have to pay the players directly. Now, the NCAA is going to allow players to get paid, but not directly from the schools, right? So, pick an Oregon player. They could go and sign autographs at a local company and get paid by that company. This legislation in California is saying Oregon itself would have to pay the player basically a salary, and it would be very radical and create all sorts of problems.
What do you see as sort of if this legislation is passed, how can Stanford, Cal, UCLA, and USC be competitive?
Well, they can't really, because what would happen is they would be off. I mean, based on the formula that's laid out in this bill, and it certainly could change. It could get clobbered as soon as it, hits various committees. But the formula laid out in the bill would basically call for football players to get 6-figure royalty checks every year from their school. So all of a sudden, the Pac-12 schools in California could say, "Well, come play for us. You can get $100,000 right from the school."
Right.
But that's going to cause a problem for everybody else, right? Nobody's going to let the California schools play, compete because they're playing by different rules. So it would cause them to have to shut down, just because nobody would accept them. Now, I think ultimately, if you ask Stanford or Cal, you say you've got to pay $100,000 to your starting quarterback, those schools would just say, we're done. We're not going to play college football anymore, at least not at the major college level. So it remains to be seen. I am skeptical that it will ultimately pass in the current form or that it'll pass at all. But, boy, if it does, oh, boy.
AB 609 is what it's called, if you want to follow that along. John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. The conference commissioner search is ongoing. What do you know now that maybe you didn't know at the beginning of the search?
Well, I thought that the decision to hire Turnkey to basically assist with the search was very illuminating, because that told me that the presidents are interested in – Turnkey is very well regarded, and that told me that the presidents were interested in moving quickly because Turnkey did the ACC commissioner search just last fall, right? So they've got, you know, and I don't know that the same candidates are necessarily going to be in position for the Pac-12 job. They're not the, exactly the same job, you know, in the details. But Turnkey is better prepared because it ran the ACC search for 6 months, much better prepared than any of the other executive placement firms to kickstart the Pac-12 search and get it moving quickly so they have somebody in place by May.
It's you know, interesting that you've got this ongoing, and I've heard candidates' names like you have that have popped up, and maybe we can sort through a few of them. But Gloria Navarez in the WCC is interesting. I think she's smart. I think she does a great job at the WCC. I floated her name out and immediately got you know, information back from people in the Pac-12 that said, no, probably not the candidate, no football experience. Does the candidate have to have football experience?
Does not have to. If I were part of the committee or advising the president, I would say that would be near or possibly at the top of the list. I mean, I think if Pac-12 can't get the football situation right over the next 6, 8, 10 years, then it's going to have an incredibly detrimental effect on all sports and all athletes. Football is so important for everything else that if you get that wrong, and the, if the Pac-12 is not properly positioned to thrive over the next decade or two, everything else is going to be impacted. And certainly that is something on her resume that the presidents would have to kind of chew on. And the same with the fact that she was hired by and worked for Larry Scott for 8 years, right? Now, I've heard very good things about the job she's done at the WCC, but the presidents need to know or decide, to what degree do we need a fresh start? Do we want anybody, whether it's Gloria or somebody currently at the conference office or somebody who is currently on one of the campuses as an athletic director? Presidents need to decide, do we want a completely fresh start? Somebody who has had no affiliation with the Pac-12 for the last however many years.
If the answer to that is, you know what, one of the sitting ADs could do a good job, who's at the top of that list of sitting ADs?
Well, that's interesting, too. There's politics in that, because you could argue that, you know, Rob Mullins at Oregon, very well qualified. And same with, you know, Jen Cohen at Washington and Pat Chun at Washington State. But the problem is their three presidents are basically making the decision. I mean, it'll be a vote of all 12 or 11. Utah's president stepping down, but the Washington State and Oregon presidents form the executive committee that is leading the search. So could they name one of their own ADs as the commissioner? Politically, that might be difficult. And also, they may not want to lose their ADs because they're all very good. So there's a lot of layers to, you know, what I call internal elevation. And the fact that there are three very good ADs working for the presidents that are on the executive committee, you know, makes it much more layered.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. Let's talk about a candidate like Bob Bowlesby, who's got experience with the conference. He's obviously gone on to other things in the Big 12. Is that real? I keep hearing that name pop up.
I don't know if it's real. I don't know if he wants a job. He's 69. But to me, it should be as real as the Pac-12 can make it. I mean, how could you ask in some ways for a better person? He is a current Power 5 commissioner whose league has been better run than the Pac-12's. He has been an AD at a Pac-12 campus. You know, he understands football at the 40,000-foot level in terms of the strategy and how the sport is evolving. He understands the issues like name, image, likeness, like the playoff expansion, all those things. He's doing it already. So, you know, if I'm the Pac-12, if one of my first calls, maybe even the first, but I don't know if he's interested in leaving the Big 12 for the Pac-12.
Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama, mentioned in your piece as you named six candidates. I like Greg Byrne. I think he's smart. His experience in the SEC makes him somebody I'd want to talk with. Does anything at Arizona that was left in his wake, Sean Miller, anything, Rich Rod, does any of that weigh him down?
I think that the presidents would have to, you know, have a pretty thorough discussion about that situation. I think the deeper you dig, the kind of the less there is, right? I mean, the Rich Rod situation has become, it looked real bad. Now it's kind of murky because the claims against him have been proven false. And, you know, he didn't hire Sean Miller. So there's a lot there. But I think if you dig through it, the presidents would probably, if they're willing to do that, they would probably be able to get comfortable with everything. You know, and in a lot of ways, Byrne is the perfect candidate, right? Nobody, obviously, he works with Nick Saban at Alabama, right? If you want somebody who understands major college football, I mean, it starts right there. And he went to Arizona State. He worked for Oregon and Oregon State. And, you know, his dad's a former Oregon athletic director, and he was the AD at Arizona. I can't think of a candidate not currently in the Pac-12 that knows the league better. So he knows the league as well as anybody, and he's at Alabama. So he's got those two key things covered, no problem.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. Shifting to college basketball, Pac-12 trying to get as many teams as possible into the NCAA tournament field. What is going on with Stanford? Have they reclassified some games, or what's happening with Stanford's chances to get an at-large berth?
Yeah, so you may recall back when my home county, Santa Clara, was banishing every sports team left and right, including the 49ers and Stanford football. They also told Stanford basketball to scram. And Stanford had to play five games in Santa Cruz at the Warriors facility in Santa Cruz. Well, Stanford argued to the NCAA that those should be considered neutral court games, not home games. There was nothing home about them. You know, they had, you know, even the stat crew was not a Stanford stat crew, right? There was no fans. It was, you know, it was 30, 40 miles away. It could have been 400 miles away. It was a neutral environment. Stanford argued that those should count as neutral court games, and the NCAA agreed. By changing the designation of those games from home to neutral, Stanford picked up two quadrant one wins in the NCAA's ratings metrics. And those quadrant one wins could end up being the difference. They're now 4-5 against quadrant one opponents instead of 2-5. And that's a big help to their chances. And if they can sneak in as the Pac-12's fifth team, you know, that's a bunch of extra money and another opportunity to get a team in the Sweet 16. So that was a big deal from the NCAA.
What do you expect in Vegas? Men's tournament, women's tournament. What kind of rhythm or flow do you expect from the Pac-12 in Vegas?
Boy, great question. I mean, I gotta think that at least, you know, there's going to be one or two games that are going to be in jeopardy, if not canceled or postponed. You know, and there's not a whole lot of leeway, right? If a team can't play, it's not like you could say, oh, well, we'll make it up in 2 weeks. I mean, that game's over, right? They gotta have a forfeiture. I've got to think between all the games scheduled for the men and the women that there's going to be some disruption. Even if games are played, there could be players that are held out. Add that to injuries, and it's almost going to be like just a survival test, right? I mean, Oregon's going through that. They're finally, except for Dante, they're finally healthy, right? And they're playing much better. But that's kind of what I think the tournaments are going to be. Whoever's got the healthiest team and can play has got a great chance. You'd think that Oregon, UCLA, USC, Colorado were the favorites, but, you know, who knows? You get one guy who can't play because he's got a quarantine issue, and then everything changes.
A year from now, this is a conference that's going to have a new commissioner and maybe some new direction. We'll have played another football season, and we'll know whether or not they've, you know, sniffed around the playoff or made the playoff. But what kind of signs of progress are you looking for from this conference that'll tell you it's moving in the right direction a year from now?
Well, you could start with September 11th. Ohio State Oregon at Ohio State, Washington at Michigan, Colorado against A&M, right? I mean, those are three gigantic games. UCLA opens against or plays LSU the week before. So those four games, LSU, A&M, Ohio State, Michigan, I mean, that's a pretty good early season showcase opportunity, right? And that'll tell us a lot, not only about those particular teams, but about how the conference is going to be viewed for the rest of the season, how it's going to be viewed by the selection committee for the playoff. But I think that September 11th is like the biggest day the Pac-12 has had in forever because of where it is right now relative to everybody else and because of the opportunity that those three games, I mean, especially, you know, the games in Columbus and Ann Arbor, just, I mean, critical. They got to get one of them, I think.
John Wilner, you're the best. I appreciate you. Keep up the fight, my friend.
Everybody, stay safe up there. Thanks for having me.
All right, will do. Good to be. Good to have electricity on. Good to be at the home studio. Good to have plenty of firewood, if anybody needs any of it. Good stuff from Wilner. I had originally sort of pegged the Pac-12 tournament as maybe the conference would have its next commissioner. But that 30-day period in which they contracted with the search firm will end here in about another 10 days. And then they'll begin to vet their candidates. And they said it would not take long. He mentioned May as the possible date. I'll be curious to know if Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, shows up in Vegas to hand over the trophies. And maybe one last weekend on the Pac-12's dime in one of those marble tubs. His $7,500 a night hotel suite on the Strip, all of that. Like, one last time, I shudder at what Larry Scott could do in one last week in Vegas on the Pac-12's dime. And on that note, too, I kind of wonder what the conference will do with his support staff. His director of communications, Andrew Walker, came with Larry Scott from the tennis tour. This is somebody who's got no college experience, is just sort of riding the coattails of his commissioner friend, Larry Scott. Several other lieutenants inside the Pac-12, including those with the Pac-12 network. It's you know, you can get rid of the commissioner and change directions, but I think it's going to take whoever comes into that job like 6 months to figure out who on the staff needs to go too. And I think it's really interesting. I took a phone call over the weekend from a current Pac-12 staff member who said, even when they hire the new commissioner, there's going to be a period here where it's still some of the same old people that were around Larry Scott that really need to go. And it may take a year to get those people out of the Pac-12 system. I don't think the Pac-12 can afford to move that slowly. I think they got to bring in a new leader. I think he's got to get, he or she's got to get their people around them and get busy living. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. Show's flying along. Power's still on. No trees have fallen during the making of this radio program. It brings us to the portion of the show where we talk to the good people, or talk about the good people at Culligan of Oregon. Let's get around the water cooler.
Meet me at the water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Well, the Seattle Mariners team president is out. He has resigned after making some comments at a Rotary Club function in which he talked about players on his team in a disparaging way. Basically, everything that's wrong with the Mariners was on display during this Rotary Club function. It took about, 17 days for this to get public? Finally, the transcript and the Zoom recording of this went public, and the team president of the Mariners resigned today. Anna has popped into the studio. Anna, let's kick this around from a PR 101 standpoint. Team president, let's just use general terms. We won't even talk about the Mariners. Any executive for any big-time company, it's got a profile. Does a small community function Zoom event, which you've been part of many times.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes. People more so in the last year. Yeah.
People ask you to speak. I don't want to say that because he spoke, that's why he got in trouble, because he believed some things that were pretty disparaging. Like, he had a player that he said his English is not so good, and turns out the guy speaks perfectly fine English.
Oh,
from a PR 101 standpoint, very quickly, How big of a deal like is this?
First of all, what?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.